welcome once again to Nashville Anthems, dissecting 80s and 90s country music. I'm your surreptitious host, Melton McManerberry, and you've entered under the cover of the music of Dylan and the Stampley Brothers this time. Find them at a sleazy establishment near you. On Nashville Anthems, our top secret mission is to expose the greatness of 80s and 90s country music by intimately getting to know one song at a time. And today, we're spending some time with Tanya Tucker's 1993 hit, Soon. So, if you haven't already, you're going to want to give Soon a few close listens right about now. And go ahead and tack on a couple of songs that we'll be heavily comparing Soon to in this episode. It's contemporary, Patti Loveless's How Can I Help You Say Goodbye, and a song from the next decade, Sugarland's Stay. All right, well, with all that out of the way, let's get into it. First off, as always, we need to give credit where credit is due, to save you the trouble of having to read the Wikipedia article yourself. Stay was released in 1993 as the lead single and title track off of Tanya Tucker's 21st studio album. This was a period of comeback of sorts for Tucker, whom many would remember breaking onto the scene as a 13-year-old in the early 70s with what I guess is still her signature song, Delta Dawn. But into the 80s, Tanya Tucker's popularity began to fade, and she ended up maybe unexpectedly riding the neo-traditional wave back to prominence in the late 80s and early 90s. A lot of Nashville anthems we could name from that era from her, songs like Love Me Like You Used To, I Won't Take Less Than Your Love, If It Don't Come Easy, Some Kind of Trouble, Down to My Last Teardrop. That's the Ain't Gonna Be No More Boo-Hooin' song. Remember that one? Fun song. Another fun one, It's a Little Too Late. All of that kind of apexed with her 1991 CMA win for Female Vocalist of the Year. So we're kind of on the tail end of that comeback by the time Soon comes around in 1993. Now, chart-wise, Soon reached number 2 in the country charts, held out by, anybody want to guess? Doug Supernaw with a great one, his own take on the non-traditional family, one called I Don't Call Him Daddy. Now, Tanya Tucker actually had a bunch of number 2s in the 1990s, but no number 1s, believe it or not. She had plenty of number 1s in the other decades, don't get me wrong, but she's kind of the Creedence Clearwater revival of the early 90s when it comes to the Billboard country charts. Well, finally, rounding out the credits, Soon's songwriters were Bob Regan and Casey Kelly, and its producer was Jerry Crutchfield. So those are some basic facts about Tanya Tucker's Soon. Now, let's get into the content of the song itself and find out at least what I'm hearing that makes this song what it is. And as I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to reference two other songs heavily here. We're going to tackle our examination of Soon by comparing it to Patti Loveless's How Can I Help You Say Goodbye and Sugarland's Stay. So, first, let's compare Soon to How Can I Help You Say Goodbye. First off, let's talk about harmonic complexity, because that's for me the thing that stands out the most about Soon musically. Much as we saw in How Can I Help You Say Goodbye, Soon is a piano-led song. You can kind of tell it was composed on piano, because you just wouldn't go to some of these chords if you were strumming away on a guitar. To illustrate, let's look at the first verse. So much like How Can I Help You Say Goodbye, the verse of Soon opens with an unexpected chord. It was a major second of all things in How Can I Help You Say Goodbye. And in Soon, it's the tamer, but no less expected, relative minor. Let's set it up. So the song starts with a pretty run-of-the-mill piano acoustic guitar chord pattern of alternating 1 and 4 chords through 4 measures. That's also the turnaround in the song. Now, the 4 chord is split. That is, it's 4/1. That split chord may give you a hint of the chord complexity that's coming, but, you know, honestly, still, it's a common move to do that. And at any rate, 1/4/1/4 is an extremely common intro. It's almost the default intro, honestly. Like, if nothing else comes to mind, you'll just naturally go 1/4/1/4 for 4 bars. The curveball comes in when Tanya Tucker starts singing, and instead of going to this chord, the 1 chord, the song instead goes to this chord, the 6, or relative minor chord.
Looking back
she thinks about that. It's pretty jarring, right? The mood of the intro was undefined, but maybe a little pensive. But the abrupt switch to minor immediately takes you down to the singer's level. It's like, this is going to be a sad one, no doubt about it. How Can I Help You Say Goodbye was kind of the opposite. It had an unorthodox intro, leading into a very jarring major second chord. Through the back window. As we discussed in that episode, but it actually lifted the song up a bit when it did that, if you remember. It was kind of a fake out. It felt like a key change or something, but the song quickly settled back into its comfortable zone. And soon there is no fake out. The poignancy of that abrupt switch to minor is real. And Tucker is going to take us down a tough road lyrically in this one, as we'll get into. And from there, the song walks down from the F sharp minor to what I think is an F augmented chord, a pretty jarring chord in its own right, which forms the transition down to A over E. So you think it's walking down chromatically in the left hand, but it then jumps a whole step down to D. G of all things, back to F sharp minor, and then the signature chord pattern of the song. It's the song's How Can I Help You Say Goodbye-esque false lift. It goes B major to B minor. Hear that? And anyway, she believed when she heard him. B major. Did you pick up on that? B major is the 2 major chord, a la How Can I Help You Say Goodbye. It's an out-of-key chord. It's a chord that shifts the tone of the song substantially. But just when we're getting our hopes up, we fall back down to B minor, the in-key minor second chord, which then fits the somber mood of the song perfectly, as we then ride the typical 2-5 wave to the end of the verse and back to 1. Looking back, she thinks about that moment in the sand. But what was just a summer fling got so far out of hand. She knew that he was taken, but she gave in anyway. She believed when she heard him say, Alan Jackson, this ain't right. By no means is this 3-chord country, and you can tell, even without picking out the chords like I did, even without having any idea what I was talking about, you can feel the difference. Soon is a pensive song. It's unsettled, largely because of the unexpected places these chords go. It feels unnatural. In a way, hard to settle in and get comfortable with. There's a certain foreignness to this song baked into these chords. Another reason for that, that unsettled feeling, and we talked about this in the How Can I Help You Say Goodbye episode as well, are that tonics are rare in this song, both chordally and melodically. Here are the chords of the verse again, and look and listen for the tonic A chord. It's F sharp minor, F augmented, in the sand. A over E. Just a summer fling, got D. So far out of hand. G. Knew that he was taken, F sharp minor. Anyway. B. B she minor. When she heard him E. Say. See what I mean? Unless you count the A over E, and for this purpose you probably shouldn't, there isn't one. There isn't a tonic chord. That 1-4-1-4 intro and turnaround has them, of course, and the chorus does begin with one. That's where that E at the end of the verse was leading to. But the verse chugs along, dancing around everything but the tonic chord. That's a big part of that unsettled feeling. We talked about this in the Seminole Wind episode as well, actually, how the tonic in the third position of the repeating 4-chord pattern in that song added to this feeling of always searching but never finding. You've got something like that going on here as well. The protagonist in this song is anything but settled, right? She's dying to be so, but at least from her perspective, settling is out of her control. She's doomed to ride along wherever these unpredictable chords take her, hoping the next one will provide the resolution that eludes her. Let's note this in Tucker's melody as well. First, let's note the low vocal register, a very similar vocal range, not coincidentally, to Patti Loveless's uber comfortable range in How Can I Help You Say Goodbye. Both songs not wanting to feel anything like a vocal stretch for their singers, but rather like the singer has, if you will, bigger fish to fry than to audition for VH1 Divas at that moment. And we spent a lot of time in How Can I Help You Say Goodbye on Patti Loveless's vocal timbre as well. This is quite unique, and it's just perfect for the intimate story that she was telling.
Sitting with Mom, alone in her bedroom.
Tanya Tucker's is no less perfect for Soon. Her voice is naturally low and gruff, infused with pain, beyond just sad and into subdued. Like she's past sad, like she has no emotion left to convey even. It has this reaching quality, like she's having to muster up the energy even to tell her story.
Soon, you'll hear a beep and you know how to play this game. Leave your number and your name.
And riding along with that unsettled delivery and those unsettled chords, Tucker sings a melody that refuses to sit down. It avoids the tonic note of A, just like Loveless's melody avoided the tonic B in How Can I Help You Say Goodbye, as we discussed in that episode. Now, when they do come, their rarity makes them all the more poignant, as at both the beginning and the end of the chorus, when the loaded word, soon. But listen to all this in between. Let me just play it. This is the note you're listening for. And here's the melody on the chorus.
Soon, I can't talk to you right now.
There was one. It actually
soon,
does resolve there.
You'll hear a beep and you know how to play this game.
Refused you there.
Leave your number and your name.
Refused you there.
I promise I'll call back.
And snuck in one there in passing. And then there's the resolution on the end on that word, soon. That melody sounds like a harmony part, especially here. It's like, who's supposed to be singing the soprano melody over the top of Tanya Tucker's alto harmony here? Because it sounds empty without it. So unsettled, unnerving, uncertain. It's a melody that leaves you searching for more. All right, well, the final comparison I want to make between Soon and How Can I Help You Say Goodbye concerns both songs' light groove. These songs never really get going, right? Remember how we talked about the groove building in Billy the Kid, how it started off suspenseful and a little ominous, then settled in and eventually exploded into cut time on the very last chorus? Yeah, nothing like that happens here. The percussion is kind of barely there throughout both songs. Like it's doing the minimum required just to keep the protagonist from being completely stagnant, but no more.
Someday, slowly turns to never. How can I help you to say goodbye?
And notice there's no climax in this song. This is not, from this moment on, huge 90s climax or unanswered prayers, this understated one. The mood of this song is totally different. The closest thing Soon has to a musical climax is at the end of the bridge, where it almost sounds like the song is about to break wide open.
So she makes her New Year's resolution.
And give it a few more years and it probably would have, but in 1993 we get really a false climax like we talked about with those major second chords and How Can I Help You Say Goodbye. Sounds like a big key change or something, but nothing really happens.
Resolution. Soon, she won't call him anymore.
There's no actual change in this woman's life. It's like, we're almost ready to go, rah, rah, you go, girl, right? But does she actually leave him? Because we don't get that payoff that we feel like is coming. Well, all right, that's it for the music and the comparison with contemporary country hit How Can I Help You Say Goodbye. Now I want to shift to the lyrics and fast forward 14 years to a song so similar that we just couldn't ignore it outside of our time period, though it may have been. And that's Sugarland's song Stay, which, by the way, also peaked at number 2, Taylor Swift being the one to hold Sugarland out of the top spot in that case. So, While it's not as overt as it is in Soon, Stay gives us the same point of view of the other woman in a song about a cheating man. Stay's songwriter, Jennifer Nettles, by the way, has said as much in a few places. For Nettles, Stay is actually specifically inspired by the opposite point of view of Reba McEntire's character, if you will, in the song Whoever's in New England. Pretty interesting, right? Credit to CMT for that insight. So though Soon and Stay, we're seeing, again, a unique and specific angle on a relatable situation. This time, the country cliche of cheating. And we should pause on that for a second, because it's quite remarkable. Country music has its share of cheating songs, right? I mean, John Anderson even had a song about cheating. But as we said with Brad Paisley's, He Didn't Have to Be, and Doug Supernaw's I Don't Call Him Daddy, and Toby Keith's Who's That Man, for that matter, all songs that offer their own specific takes on perhaps the slightly taboo but super relatable concept of stepfatherhood, Stay and Soon offer a point of view that is so atypical that honestly you might even miss it if you don't pay close attention to the lyrics. So, just in case you did miss it, Stay's protagonist isn't begging her lover not to leave his wife's bed for his mistress's. It's the other way around.
It's just another call from home, and you get it and be gone, and I'll be crying.
It's like, wait, what? Did she just say what I think she said? As a matter of fact, she did. And as I said, I mean, it's more on the surface in Soon than it is in Stay. But on first listen, your assumption that the point of view is the jilted's is so strong, generally speaking, that you might fail to catch the line, "She knew he was taken," at the beginning of Soon.
She knew that he was taken, but she gave in anyway.
But, I mean, we have to say it. If songs about infidelity are relatable at all, it follows that the point of view of the other woman or the other man has to be just as relatable as the woman or man back home's, and of the one doing the cheating for that matter. So Tucker and her character don't apologize for a moment for what they're saying here. Same with Nettles and her character in Stay, by the way. And there's something great about that. The authenticity of expression of emotion here, even for someone who's on the wrong side of right in the situation, seems to be a key part of the secret sauce that makes this era and genre of music so particularly great. And to be clear, no one is saying that the protagonist is in the right here. That's just not the point of the song. That's not what's in question and being dealt with. It's like we talked about with some of the politically tinged ideas in Billy the Kid, and of course earlier songs like Okie from the Skogie and Stand By Your Man. Focusing on the right or wrong of what's being said kind of tragically misses all the richness of expression that's really the gem at the heart of these songs. So, along those lines, I want to talk about a stream of country music that we haven't really encountered yet, at least not this full on. Arguably, we saw a little bit of this with Jody Messina and It's All Right, but we're seeing it in all its glory with Soon. Tanya Tucker being, frankly, the queen of it. And it's this strand of like lower class, particularly female country, that we started seeing in the 90s. Don't hear me saying, by the way, this is only a female thing. It's not. Men had their version of it too. Friends in Low Places is exactly this from the male side. So my point isn't that this idea is exclusively female, but I would say that the female version was kind of its own distinct thing. I'm talking about women who weren't the girl next door, or the woman in red, or even somewhere in the middle, but rather they celebrated the lifestyle associated with lower socioeconomic status, celebrated it, flaunted it, sang about it, and exuded it with a brashness that dared anyone to object. Martina McBride, this wasn't. I'm talking the Lori Morgans. She tried to pivot elegant with Something in Red, remember that song? And there's a reason it didn't really work, but maybe we'll get to that one of these days. Later on, I'm talking about Gretchen Wilson, who epitomized this idea in 2004's Redneck Woman. And it's definitely not a coincidence that in that song, she utters the line,
"And I know all the words to every Tanya Tucker song."
Charlie Daniels and Bo Cephas too, she says that too. And that's the male version of this. But on the female side, no question, Tanya Tucker is the poster girl for this. It's like the natural outflow of Loretta Lynn's Tell It Like It Is brashness when she was taking women to Fist City, telling her husband not to come home a drinking with loving on his mind, and enjoying all the benefits of the pill. And of Dolly Parton's big and bold stage persona. And yes, there's even some of this in Jennifer Nettles, I'll be so bold as to say, with her exaggerated South Georgia delivery that's so infused with attitude that you relate to her not as a red carpet star, but as the girl you went to high school with.
She can't love you like me. Why don't
won't you stay? I'm down on my knees.
So how does this idea relate to the subject matter of Soon and its daughter song, Stay? Well, adult contemporary, this ain't. This is a pretty bold perspective, I'm just here to tell you. And it's not the sort of thing you talk about in respectable company, right? I mentioned how well Tanya Tucker's voice was suited to this song, and part of that is that particular gruffness. But it's more than just that. It's more than just rasp. It sounds working class. It sounds like she smokes. It sounds like she's led a hard life, as something like a victim of circumstance and environment, as someone who couldn't crawl out of her situation if she wanted to.
I'll be telling you no who the facts of life. I want you to be my wife, and our dreams will all come true.
Also, the video is pretty risque. Not safe for work, folks, in case you've forgotten from having watched it on CMT all those years ago. The video is sensual in a particularly unsophisticated and unelegant way, which fits Tanya Tucker's particular persona and the persona of the woman telling this story. And what story is that? Well, I think that's best explored by finally talking about the song's loaded title. Soon. The irony. Listen to how she sings that word.
Soon.
The resolution that isn't really resolution at all. The ambiguity. This once again is Alan Jackson's Someday. What a country song can do with a solitary adverb. Uncertain timelines, words that mean nothing, platitudes even. And the word soon even pretends to be more definite than Jackson's Someday. But only pretends. It's the poster child for stringing along, for offering groundless hope. And at least until the last chorus, the protagonist, you can tell on one level, knows this. Knows there's really no soon. But on another level, refuses to yield to that despair. It's a simple word that embodies all of the frustration of false hope, of unrealistic expectations, and it's brilliant. By the way, the timeline isn't even that long. It starts in summer and ends with a New Year's resolution, so 6 months? Actually, kind of did end soon. Or did it? Note how the word is used in that false climax we talked about earlier.
So she makes her new soon. She won't call him anymore. Soon.
Now, Stay is 14 years later and doesn't hold back on the female empowerment in its final chorus, but Soon stops short. When is this protagonist going to end it with this guy? After believing all of the false promises, after waiting by the phone so many evenings for a call that never came, after all the effort to get ready for the romantic evening only to have him never show up, now that she's finally seen the light and realized that it's never going to happen, that he's never going to change, and as she musters up her courage to admit to herself what she has to do, after all that, when does she say she's actually going to go ahead and leave this guy? Well, now is as good a time as any to find out what song we'll be looking at on the next episode of Nashville Anthems. So to that end, I'm going to pull up Satellite Radio's 80s and 90s country station right now and see what's playing. We have our first encounter with Bakerfield's Dwight Yoakam. It's his song Honky Tonk Man. I look forward to getting into that one with you in 2 weeks. Until then, you know the drill. Find Nashville Anthems on Instagram or Facebook. Email me at meltonmcmainerberry@gmail.com. And of course, don't forget to tell a friend about us. Thanks for listening. I'll see you.